Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, welcome. Really glad you're with us here today, and hope that things are going to be better in your life after we finish talking with you with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Steve.
And we've got a very special, wonderful guest, Shannon Etheridge.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Shannon.
You doing all right?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on today.
You are welcome. Now, a lot of people may not know who Shannon is. A lot of people may know who Shannon is. But when Fred Stoker and I did Every Man's Battle, we wanted to do a version for women. Every woman's battle, every toddler's battle, all these things. And so when it came to Every Woman's Battle, we needed somebody that had been there, had struggled, had been through it, had come out on the other side, had integrity, was a great communicator, and Shannon Etheridge was the person that got the job. And we have never regretted that decision. I know her well. She is a delightful human being, and she's smart. She's got a master's degree in counseling and human relations from Liberty University. She's been on Kathy Lee and Hoda, or is it Yoda? Either one. I don't know.
I won't tell her you said that.
But yeah, really. I'll tell you, she's an amazing author. She's written Every Woman's Battle, The Sexually Confident Wife, and now she's come out with The Fantasy Fallacy. And we're going to be talking with her about that. But if you would like to join us on this program, 1-800-229-3000. Now, I have to say something funny. We're doing another program after this, and we were having another guest on, Jill.
Yes.
But he ended up needing to go to the hospital. And I said, wait a second. Dr. Jill Hubbard did an interview with the umbilical cord still attached to her child from the hospital as we checked in on her.
That is true.
I had no sympathy for this person. So anyway, I don't know if you went there to deliver, but I appreciate your courage. All right, so 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program with Shannon Etheridge, and she is the author of the brand new book, which is entitled The Fantasy Fallacy, and you're going to love this book. She is also the winner of the Gold Medallion Award for Excellence in Publishing. She has really developed the Every Woman's Battle brand, you could say, in a way like you wouldn't believe. And we're going to be doing some great, fun things together. But first, let me mention this before we get going. It is fast approaching the time when we are going to be going to Israel. And we want you to come and go with us. The title of our trip is The Land of Transformation. And we're going to look at everybody that's ever been transformed in the Bible over there. Well, maybe not everybody, but we're going to do it. And joining me, Dave Stoop and his wife, Jan, is going to go. And then Dr. Sherry Keffer and her husband are going. And I'm going to go bring one of my bonus boys, James. And there's going to be teaching, drama, acting. We wake up the first day. First day, imagine this. We're in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and that's how we start this whole trip. Please look into it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. That's the last I'll mention that today because I want to talk to you later about our workshops coming up this weekend. We want you there. There is something that you could do with your life to make it better if you joined us in Denver for the New Life Weekend, Healing is a Choice, or the Marriage Weekend. We'll be back after this.
Everyone at some level needs help. You may have prayed for help many times and feel like you've tried everything. Let New Life's Healing is a Choice workshop help. Steve Arterburn and New Life's group counselors help you deal with your challenge.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out, defeated, stuck in the realization of my pitiful reality. I've been sinking in my circumstances and my pain.
Anger, depression, sexual abuse, abortion, grief, and other groups help you focus on just the issue you're dealing with.
This weekend has been a total gift. I feel like I finally have a game plan to follow to help healing begin.
The next Healing is a Choice workshop is Friday, February 28th through March the 2nd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with practical tools to use to get unstuck, and I leave here with five new sisters who totally know where I've been and where I am right now.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I'll mention that tomorrow, Dave Stoop and I, tomorrow evening, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be doing a webinar on recovery, and we're going to be taking questions. And if you have ever had any resistance to recovery, you think that's for somebody else, it's not for Christians and all that stuff, boy, this would be a great thing for you to tune into. Now, before we go to the calls at 1-800-229-3000, Shannon, tell us, what is the fantasy fallacy?
Well, that is the book that I created in response to this 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon. It's not a response directly to the book necessarily, it's just the cultural tidal wave that's hit us, that women are just so fascinated with romance novels, and some of them are into pornography just like men are, but women love fantasy. And so oftentimes what they don't understand is that the fantasies that you create in your head are really just the brain's way of trying to heal itself from past trauma. So rather than focusing on the fruit of your fantasy, trying to bring it to life, what you really need to focus on is the root of your fantasy, because fantasies aren't a roadmap to fulfillment. They're actually a roadmap to a rocky past, that when we look at the things that we experienced in our childhood especially, what we'll see is traumas and tragedies, and our fantasies are kind of the antithesis of that. It's where we regain our sense of power and control and desirability, all of those sorts of things. And so I just really want to awaken both women and men. It's not just a book written to women, but to awaken especially the body of Christ to looking at your fantasies and seeing what you can learn about what might still need healing in your life.
Now, when you talk about fantasy, are you saying that all fantasy in marriage is a negative thing?
No, absolutely not. I think that God wired our brains to be able to fantasize for very good reasons. And you know, you think about a child who's going through a very traumatic experience, what does their brain do? It literally shuts down or goes someplace else. And we continue to have that ability throughout our lifetimes, but unfortunately in a marriage relationship, our brain shutting down during sex or going somewhere else during sex doesn't always make for the healthiest of relational dynamic in the marriage bed. And so learning to be present with yourself instead of looking to fantasy to take you somewhere else is a good thing for married couples to try to do.
So if a guy's sensing that his wife might be drifting into the world of fantasy, this might be a nice little gift. Is that right?
Well, it certainly can be. Again, sometimes a woman or a man actually needs to go to a different place in order to tap into those sexual energies that they feel safe with. Because sometimes, you know, especially if they've experienced sexual abuse in the past, they can't just flip that switch and just immediately go to 100 miles an hour. Their brain does need to go to a different place, but hopefully you can bring that brain back and be emotionally and mentally present with your spouse at some point more and more, hopefully to the point that you don't need to rely on those fantasies as much.
Okay.
So, Shannon, it sounds like what you're saying, what was first maybe used to help a child cope in a difficult situation, or maybe what helps someone get to a maybe more relaxed place taken too far then really gets in the way and is destructive.
It can certainly be destructive. Just a quick example, there was a woman who came to me, 31 years old, happily married, had a 2-year-old daughter. She could not understand why she struggled so much with lesbian fantasies. That was the nature of where her brain automatically went. And she said, Shannon, I love my husband. I consider myself heterosexual. That would be against my personal spiritual values. Why does my brain always go there? We did a sexual history together. I didn't see anything in her sexual history that explained that mystery. But then I just sensed God saying, do a more broad history. And what I learned is that when she was 14 years old, she had an 11-year-old sister who went to spend the night with friends. That night, lightning struck the roof of that house, and it burned to the ground, and everyone inside was killed, including her little sister. As a result, her mother emotionally shut down. So at a very pivotal age in her sexual development, at 14 years old, she lost the two women closest to her, her sister physically and her mother emotionally. And I asked her, what kind of counseling did you go through to deal with the grief of such an overwhelming loss? And she just looked at me blankly. She had never gone through any kind of counseling. So those fantasies were really just her brain's way of recreating some resemblance of mm-hmm. intimacy with other females, but it was really just an indication that it's time. You have emotional bills that have come due, and it's time for you to learn how to grieve the loss of your sister so mm-hmm. that you can reconnect with your husband and not need these fantasies to light your fire. Yeah.
Makes sense. Really does mm-hmm. make sense. Well, let's go to the phones and let's talk to some people, and I want you to join in with us here. Let's go to Catherine from Charlestown, Indiana. KFIA is the station. Hello there. How are you?
Hello, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am doing pretty good. I have several things that are going on, and the main question I have is how do I work with my... I have three children. How do I work with my three children in regards to the pornography addiction that I am finding? That I have an older daughter, a son, and a younger daughter. My two daughters are completely wrapped up in this porn issue. Their father had a porn addiction. He went to Every Man's Battle back in 2002. He left me in 2012 for a girl who is 20 years my young, who's 20 years younger than I am. She, my daughter, I had care of all three of my children after the divorce, but my youngest child has a deep-rooted desire to have the love of her father. She has said multiple times, and her brother and sister both have said multiple times, that he only has two children. He has his oldest daughter and his son, who doesn't have a name. He's just his son. Kelsey is a byproduct. All three of them are his children. All three. Okay. I mean, we were married for 23 mm-hmm. years. Right.
So what's
and
the...
How do I support my children? How do I help my children with these addictions and things? I found out my 15-year-old has sent naked pictures of herself across the country.
Okay, hold on.
It is being addressed through the police system and all
okay,
that
hold
that's
on.
Been brought in.
Okay.
So how do I... What do
hold
I
on. Let me ask you a question here. When she sent the picture, did someone request that picture, or was this a boyfriend that she sent it to? How did that happen?
I'm not really sure. She's living with her dad and her new stepmom that I have, at this point in time, very little contact with her because she chooses not to have any contact with me due to needing her father's love.
Uh-huh.
She looked at the police officer yesterday and told the police officer point blank, I didn't do that. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. Those are things I didn't do. And without a text from her stepmom to her dad saying this is what happened, she didn't do anything.
And she's in denial.
The text from her said yes, she
well,
did. So she
but, you know,
it.
It's your daughter. You're entitled to a little more information than that.
My ex-husband is a police officer, and so he gives me very little information at all, period. I
well,
know that I'm entitled to it.
Right, but it's another thing to get
okay.
it.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
How do I help my children with this issue? My oldest has Shannon's book, Every Young Woman's Battle, but the dad doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that there's a problem. He didn't even want the police officer to do a report. He didn't want anything to be done. He just wanted to handle things himself. How do I deal with it? What can I do?
Yeah. I'm curious about what level of involvement you have with the children. Did you just say that they are now living with their father instead of with you?
My oldest child is away at college, and I have found some things on her computer or in Facebook page that really just don't help support. My son lives with me. I'm to have residential custody. My youngest child had psychosomatic health issues, and so because of the area here, we couldn't get her committed to a hospital or to any kind of inpatient services because there's nothing local for people her age. And
okay, so your youngest son lives with you, your daughter lives with her father, and your oldest is off at college. Did I understand that correctly?
Correct. Right.
Okay. So specifically, what you're wanting to know is what?
What can I do? How can I support this? How do I not go crazy over the fact that my kids are doing this, and there's very little that I have control over because my youngest daughter looks at me and says, "You're not my mother. You have no authority in my life." And Dad supports that issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. It sounds like in order to get her father's love, she has to choose.
Yes, very much so.
Right.
And she has been calling this woman who was the whole start of our divorce, Mom. She calls her Mom now, and she can't call me anything at all.
Okay. So she wants no contact with you. You have no contact with her. And so are you wanting us to tell you how to have contact with her or how to deal?
Let me just jump in for a second, Steve.
Jump on in.
Okay, Catherine, I think you have to start where you can start. And I think that starting with the two children that you do have contact with and, you know, working on your relationship with them, you want to be able to connect with your kids, you know, at a heart level. And if they're pushing you away, something's wrong there with your connection. And so you really then can't jump right in and attack a problem when there isn't even open communication. And so I would be, you know, working on with your eldest daughter and, you know, finding times where you could go visit her or times when you could connect and to really listen to her. And then, you know, as you do that, allow her to talk, and then you can kind of ask questions about things that are going on, not in an attacking way, but in a way that says, well, let's explore this. What do you think about this? And then you can start to make parallels about their dad, perhaps, in that. But I think, you know, you have to start from a place where at least they're willing to relate to you.
So if you talked to your ex and said, I need your help in reestablishing a relationship with my daughter, what would his response be?
Oh, I encourage her to call you. I encourage her to talk to you. However, she doesn't want to talk to you. She doesn't want to come see you. She doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And yeah, I mean, she threatened. I had her last week, and she called or texted him or something and said something about running away from my house. And I never got any kind of notification from him telling me that she was thinking about leaving my home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's. I have two questions for you. Number one, I want to know, was there any kind of counseling available to the kids when this divorce took place? You know, what kind of grief process were they able to go through? And number two, have you been able to identify the root of the bitterness that your daughter has toward you? What is the axe that she's grinding against you?
She doesn't know. I said, what is it that, you know, what have I done? What can you tell me? Do you have any idea? And the only thing that I can come back to is her ultimate desire to have the love of her father. She's like, well, the new wife has a little boy, and she wants to be there for the little boy. I mean, it's kind of like they are this one happy little family. And
okay. All right, listen, you have presented us with essentially an impossible situation because your husband won't help you to reconnect with her, and then she doesn't want to connect with you. And so I think you're down to a writing campaign where you're writing letters to her or emails to her. Probably letters would be better because when people get a letter, they usually open it, where you're sharing and bearing your heart. But I would continue.
Well, and naming perhaps her hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she may see you as a failure in this marriage and may not want to be like you. Therefore, she's separating from you because that is the only way to get her dad, you know, who seems to be the one on top.
And to appeal to him with the knowledge that, you know, later she's going to grow up and she's going to be angry that no one helped her get through this. And she's going to be angry at you. She's not going to stay this way forever. We'll be back.
2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
You can reach Guild Travel at 1-800-223-3855, extension 240 or 260.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back, and you guys want to make a couple more comments here about, you know, I suggest the letter writing to Catherine. Anything else we want to suggest to her that might help her renew this relationship?
I definitely think that when a couple divorces, they have to recognize the huge impact it has on their children, since this is the only world they've ever known.
Yeah.
And encouraging counseling for the kids is just as important as counseling for the spouses.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that she still needs to be an advocate, Steve, as you were saying, for the daughter, and to try to get her into some counseling.
Well, I'm going to send her a copy of How We Love Our Kids, by Mylon and Kay. I think that'll be a great blessing of a book. And anybody else, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, Shannon Etheridge is on with us. She has written The Fantasy Fallacy. She's got The Passion Principles, Celebrating Sexual Freedom in Marriage. Some of you, this weekend, you are going to be shopping in some of the finest malls ever. Some of you are going to be skydiving. But Shannon, you're not. You're going to be with us.
I'm going to be having a blast in Denver, Colorado with
That's
you guys.
Right. Shannon is going to be doing a group there with our Healing is a Choice and our Marriage Weekend folks. And that is going to lead to, eventually, Shannon's going to come on and do some groups for women that are sexually addicted, or they are romance or relationship addicts, or love junkies. And that's different than women in the battle, which is for those that are attached to a guy who has a sexual integrity problem. We're really excited about working with Shannon and hope that she doesn't disappoint us. So
I certainly won't. And let me interject. It's not just for women who are swinging too far to the left with their sexuality, with just being too open and available to men. It's also for women who have been shut down sexually and emotionally and have swung too far to the right and don't feel comfortable opening up with their husbands in a healthy context of marriage.
That's right.
So whether you're too far to the left, too far to the right, come and help find we'll help you find a healthy balance.
Well, I know there'll be many men wanting to give their wives a scholarship to that part of it.
We hope so.
Now, let me tell you something. If you are struggling with fear or anxiety, or there's something that has been holding you back, there's a resistance in your life, there's something that is, you know, it's just never, ever been cleared up, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've experienced spiritually, and you know that this weekend could do it all for you, and you don't have the money, call us right now. If we run out of scholarship funds, I'm going to get on the phone. Larry and I are going to get on the phone and try to find some more, because we want everybody that needs it to be there this weekend in Colorado for the Healing is a Choice and the Marriage Weekend. And you've heard me say it before, nothing is better for a marriage than this weekend. I'm just telling you, nothing has ever been developed better than this weekend for marriages. And if you don't believe me, come. 1.9% of the people a year later say things are worse. 1.9. And many of these folks, they had a restraining order out against the other person, or they were divorced for 2 years or 3 years. So it is powerful. And then on the Healing is a Choice side, there's just a tremendous amount of healing. That's why we call it Healing is a Choice. Clever, isn't it? Now, I want you to come. Please, please come. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Mary. Mary's calling us from Garland, Texas, KWRD. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, so, convince yourself a little bit better of that.
Yeah.
I just turned the radio on and I thought, okay, I'm gonna give you a call. And here's in a nutshell: my daughter is 29. Everybody that knows her thinks she is, you know, great, beautiful, funny. She's kind of the all-American girl.
Mm-hmm.
She went to a Christian college, has a degree, has a very good job, but. You know, some things have come to my attention in, I would say, the last 6 months. First, I found out that she, I don't even know how to say it, but wants to be a lesbian. I can't even say that she is, but she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, you know, had boyfriends up until this time. She mm-hmm. lived with a guy for 3 years before this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out, I guess, after college, in the interim, she's had 3 abortions. Mm. Somehow, this has got to be all connected.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% know that this is spiritual warfare. Her group of friends and people she worked with, she's surrounded by lesbians.
Mm.
She lives in an apartment and told me, you know, shortly after I found out about all this, that, you know, a girl moved in across the hall that she went to high school with. And I thought, well, good, maybe there's a, you know, an avenue for a new friend. And then we were outside leaving, and she pointed and said, yeah, there's her Harley. So Satan is just bringing lesbians to surround her.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know, as a mother, how do I, you know, love her, which I do, but how do I love her without condoning any of this?
Yeah. And how's your... How's your heart doing in all of this?
I try and stay neutral, but it seems like, you know, if we go out and have dinner or we have conversations, I always ask the wrong question or go down that wrong road and voice my opinion, and it doesn't end well.
Okay. All right. We're going to help you right after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle, right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Denver February 28th through March 2nd.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Arterburn.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and talking with Mary, and her daughter has, her daughter is a lesbian. Now, Mary, you say you get together and things don't go well because you voice your opinion. Could you possibly move beyond the voicing your opinion stage, given the fact that she knows what your opinion is?
Yeah. I mean, there are times, you know, when we get together, it's not always like that. You know, we see each other and we don't even talk about it. So is that what you're asking, just avoid the conversation at all?
I'm not saying avoid it. I'm just saying try to connect with her if it comes up. Let's just say, she says, yeah, my roommate, it's just really difficult, knowing what to do. It's very different than when I had a boyfriend. Well, you could come back with, you shouldn't have a girlfriend, or you could say, you know, relationships are difficult no matter what. You know, just something like that, that's kind of saying to her, I want to live my life with you, honey. I want to be there for you, even in these kind of things. So you keep the dialogue open, so there's a chance that if she, she finds a tremendous amount of dissatisfaction in what she does, she's going to come to you. But you're going to have a relationship with her. And you're not condoning it when you talk about things and share with her and hear about her life. You're not condoning anything.
Well, and it may speak more loudly for you to be able to hear her, since she does know how strongly you feel.
Yeah. See, it's counterintuitive, you could say. I learned that big word the other day. And but it's not doing what would come naturally or what seems like would make the most sense.
Mm-hmm. She won't ever, you know, go there in a conversation with me.
What hasn't been
because she
been
knows
safe.
How I feel. She doesn't want to know the truth. So she would, you know, she doesn't bring any of that kind of
okay,
stuff.
But, well, but don't but you think she knows the truth?
But Mary,
absolutely.
It's yeah. Maybe it's because you don't want to hear what feels true to her. Maybe there hasn't been room for that.
You know, like maybe she'd like to tell you that ever since her father started traveling 6 days a week when she was three, you know, she had this void in her life. And she came to believe that no man was ever going to be there for her. And all of a sudden, she started being attracted to girls. I mean, see, there's some mysteries there that maybe she could share with you.
Yeah, and I was going to say, she might mm-hmm. want to share with you that I've been so burned by guys who
right.
get me pregnant, and then I go through this painful abortion, and being with a woman at least alleviates that possibility of a consequence.
That is
it. Until she feels safe.
That is what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but see, you don't know until you get past the disappointment, the hurt, and all.
Your anxiety about what yeah. her lifestyle.
And then,
that's all she gets from you.
Yeah, and then you start to connect. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that you will use it, especially the part where I help you to grieve the loss mm-hmm. of what you kind of thought you had. And then you embrace what is there, and then you move forward toward that person no matter what. You know, Jesus loved some of the most difficult people in the world to love. And if you could just sum up the Christian faith as we live it out, you'd say it's loving people well. And if you sit down and write in the front of your Bible, how can I love my daughter better? And start writing some things down. It's your best hope for her mm-hmm. and your best hope for the kingdom of God. And I'm so sorry
yeah.
that this is what you're having to go through.
And I think it will show her some more authenticity, because it may be that, you know, you said she's the all-American girl. She went to a Christian school. She's got a good job. Her resume
yeah.
looks really good, but it hasn't worked for her, because maybe it's really only her persona.
Right.
And it hasn't sunken mm-hmm. in. And so, you know, she may be then trying out other things, because the lesbian community is very accepting.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And focus on loving her unconditionally, regardless mm-hmm. of whether she chooses a lifestyle of lesbianism or not. She's still your daughter, and you still want a relationship with her. And if she feels that unconditional love, she'll feel a lot more safe.
Okay. Now, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I hope it helps. Let's go to Vicki from Wilmington, Delaware, WFIL.
Hi.
Hi, Vicki. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You're on with Shannon Etheridge, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and me. So how could we help you?
Hi. Well, I'm calling because I'm 42 years old, and over the course of my life, I've made some really bad choices when it comes to sex. And I don't know, I've been married 3 times. I've cheated in every relationship. Even in my dating relationships, I always seem to wander off and cheat.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 6 years, when I was 18, I became a stripper.
Okay.
And I did that for 6 years. Then I got pregnant by a man who wasn't my son's father.
Mm.
Anyway.
Okay, now let me ask you a question real before you go yeah. any further, then I'm going to turn it over to our two women.
Okay.
In your best thinking, why did all this happen? Because life makes sense. There's a reason. Why did you go through all of that, and somebody else, they just went to work at Neiman Marcus and sold cosmetics? Why did you go through all of this in your mind? Have you thought that through? What's your best answer?
Well, I mean, my parents got divorced when I was 7, so like the caller you had earlier said, her daughter was like looking for daddy love. I think I've been looking for, you know, a man to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes, like, I feel like I've used sex to get guys interested in me, and I don't know how to have healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. I have impulse, you know, problems being compulsive and mm-hmm. making bad choices without thinking them through.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear what Shannon. Why don't we start with you, Shannon? You wrote this this wonderful book, The Passion Principle. But before that, The Fantasy Fallacy.
The main question that I have for you, Vicki, is: have you ever carved out a period of time where you actually sat down and made a list, created a sexual history, and looked at who these men are and what you perceived that they had to offer you? Is there a common denominator? Is there a golden thread that would create a pattern? When you connect all these dots, what is the bigger picture? What is it that you think that you're missing that these guys seem to be offering to you at first, but obviously never fill the bill?
I guess I don't want to be alone, so I always have to have somebody with me.
And what is your fear of being alone?
I guess I feel like I need somebody to love me.
So if you're alone, you're unloved?
I guess. I mean, I've been counseling for forever, and I've been told I have low self-esteem, and I have low self-confidence.
Because until you feel comfortable being by yourself, how can you really be comfortable being part of a couple, being involved in a relationship? A relationship is the involvement of two people who are comfortable in themselves, who are also comfortable with each other. But when one person isn't comfortable with themselves, now you've got a whole different dynamic. And when you have two people who are uncomfortable with themselves, what you have is two ticks and no dog who just attach onto each other and just suck the life out of each other. My guess is you've had a few tick relationships, am I right?
Yeah.
You attract other men who are equally as starved for affection?
Pretty much, yeah. I stayed in abusive relationships. I don't know. I mean, I feel like at 42, like, now I want to take the time to be alone and get better.
Amen. Good. That's exactly what you need to do.
Now, are you a Christian? Are you a believer or not?
I am a Christian, but I tend to walk on the fence all my life. I never pick a side.
Well,
you don't
think
really believe that Jesus is enough to satisfy you and fill your needs.
Well,
you?
It sounds like the feelings override what you think.
Yeah. Okay.
And the fear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're gonna give you some help right after this, okay? Can you hold on?
Okay. Sure, thanks.
All right. I'm glad that you called. I'm glad that you can be honest and open. Hey, we're going to do another program after this. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. Come on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer March 21st through the 23rd in Columbus, Ohio.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back with Dr. Shannon, well, not a doctor yet, but she will be, Shannon Etheridge, author of The Passion Principles, Dr. Jill Hubbard, author of The Secrets Women Keep, and the brand new book, Forgiving Our Fathers, Forgiving and Our Mothers. Now, Vicki, this kind of situation we're talking about here is exactly what we deal with at the Healing is a Choice weekend. And if there's ever anything I could do to persuade you to come, I would. And I want to see if we can't get you there. And I want to see if there isn't somebody that could maybe provide a scholarship for you to come. Because these are the kind of things that we deal with. We help you break these patterns. But you continue, Jill and Shannon, on the path you were going on why this happens and what she needs to do.
Okay, I had a couple thoughts. Excuse me. So we were talking about your feelings override your thinking.
Right.
Sorry, I've got a little frog in my throat all of a sudden. It sounds like, Vicki, that alone to you has equaled bad and unloved. And therefore, mm-hmm. you know, when there is an opportunity for that impulsive relationship or impulsive kind of love, it's almost like it's a drug that you just don't even think. You just dive into because it supports your fantasy that, okay, now I'm going to be loved. But as soon as it starts to dwindle, then you're off to the next one because you keep chasing that high of maybe this time, even though there right. is really no, you know, follow through on the fantasy. It's just that. Uh-huh. It's smoke and mirrors. And so the fact that you're saying, maybe now I need to be alone, you know, to be able to sit in that aloneness and realize it won't destroy you. And then to have people around you that don't perpetuate your fantasy, but that are real with you, that aren't the drug kind of relationship, so that uh-huh. you can feel what it really does feel like to be loved for who you are, apart from romance.
By women.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Steve.
By women and by God. Having yes. that intimate time alone with God where you're not constantly in pursuit of a romantic relationship with a man equates to more time that you can really pour into developing a deeper level of intimacy in your relationship with God. And that is definitely where that source of love is going to be found.
Wait.
What is your response right. to Jill's suggestion, Vicki?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
What is your response to Jill's suggestion of what if you were to go through a season of just letting yourself be alone and develop healthy relationships that aren't romantic in nature and figure out who you are and who you are in relationship with God before you move on to looking for a man again?
Well, that kind of feels like my only choice at this point
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to keep having bad relationships. Like, I have children and they're watching me, and I don't want to go through this and have them, you know, I don't want five more relationships that my kids have to watch that aren't good. Right. I want to learn how to love myself, have a healthy relationship someday.
Now we're not into blaming people here, but you know whose fault this is, right?
Mine?
No. This is your mom's fault.
My mom's fault?
Didn't teach you?
My mom?
Your what? Mom did not teach you how to have healthy, accepting, loving relationships with other women. And so...
Women?
That's right.
Friendships.
That sounds like a foreign concept to you, Vicki.
I don't make female friends very easily. Girls don't like them very much.
Because you steal their boyfriends.
I just said that. Your mom didn't teach you. You didn't say anything about that. And I'm not a magician or mm-hmm. the great Kreskin, but I knew that because that's what women do mm-hmm. when they don't have moms that teach them how to connect with other women. They go off and they either connect with another man to try to find it, or they go off and become some kind of workaholic that, you know, they have some kids, but the kids don't matter. But it's so obvious in your case that unless you find some female friends that you can say to, I'm not very good at this, and would you guys mm-hmm. hang in here with me, because I'm ruining my life and I'm ruining my kids, and they're telling me the only hope I have to have a great relationship with men is you. Would you help me learn how to connect with you? And that's the best answer that I can give to you.
Wow, so that's scary.
Yeah, sure it is.
And Vicki, I want to say that, you know, when I was awakened to the fact that I am actually a sex and love addict who's been white-knuckling it all these years, it felt as if I kind of thought, no, wait a minute. If you're addicted to alcohol, you know when to stop, and you can measure whether or not you're drinking. And the same thing with drugs. But when you're addicted to love, into relationships, well, that is such a basic human need. We can't live without relationships. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed mm-hmm. like that they were asking me to stop breathing. Like, the idea of not being in relationship with men seemed as if I would literally suffocate. But the reality is that Steve is exactly right. Until I found a group of women, and I found my group through Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous with an all-female group. I don't encourage a mixed group on that topic, because that's like an alcoholic walking into a bar saying, yeah, this is where I'm going to have my AA meeting.
Right.
That would just be ridiculous. Or find a Celebrate Recovery group that has, you know, some women's subgroups, but find other women who can identify with these feelings that you have, because if they've always looked to men too, and they're looking for another woman to connect with on an honest and real level to build accountability and integrity in their lives, then there you go. You've got a new best friend. You may have a whole room full of new
best friends.
Okay,
now here's the thing. Now here's the thing. I've known Shannon for, I guess now, maybe close to 15 years. And she was an amazing writer and speaker and communicator when I met her all those years ago. But something else happened in the meantime as she was working on her own recovery, and as she was connecting with these other women, she became a wonderful woman and mm-hmm. someone that's easy to be with
mm-hmm.
and connected to people beyond just, you know, what she does or what she talks about. So what I'm saying is there's a world of peaceful, meaningful existence, but it begins with the risk of doing what your mom failed to teach you to do. And you're going to have to forgive her for that. Have you ever thought about that?
No, I thought it was my dad's fault.
Nah. Mm. No, Dad was an easy target.
Well, he contributed, but...
Yeah, he was an easy target. I'm glad that you called.
Steve, you've said it before that a man doesn't become a man in the presence of a woman. He becomes a man in the presence of a man. The same is true of women, correct?
Yep.
We have to become women in the presence of women.
Absolutely. Right. All right. Well, Vicki, hold on. I'm going to send you a copy of Shannon's book. It's absolutely wonderful, The Passion Principle. And then let me just go ahead and send the fantasy fallacy also. Shannon Etheridge, and she's going to be with us this weekend in Colorado for Healing is a Choice and the Marriage Weekend. She's going to run a group. Now listen, everybody, if you can possibly send somebody there, it's not too late. Here we are. It's Wednesday. Airfare can still be found, but people need a scholarship. And the only way they get it is if somebody gives them a scholarship. So please, please, if you can, send us or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want some people to go to that workshop. It changes lives. It is transforming. Thank you, Shannon. I hope you can hold on and do another program with us, since the guy that was supposed to do it can't because he's in the hospital. We love you, everybody. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us.
We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.